Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Wax Quizzical. This is the podcast that has all of the questions, but history has proven very few of the answers, unfortunately. But we'll see if we can change that today with comedian Lloyd Langford.
Hello.
Welcome, Lloyd. Thank you for joining us for the quiz.
I'm very happy to be here because I've been given the task of cleaning and painting the deck.
Oh, no. So this is a worthy procrastination.
This is a brief respite from manual labor.
Is that why, because just before we started recording, you pulled the most sort of Saturday quiz move I think we've had on the podcast so far, which is to get a pillow for your lower back in the most sort of ABC weekend radio move. You've got proper support for the lumbar.
Normally, I would use a proper sort of supportive office chair that we found on the street and took home.
That's where you get your most supportive office chairs.
But Anne is doing a simultaneous Zoom, so she's
you got to fight over the chair.
She's backseat the chair.
After this quiz, you'll be back out on the deck. Where are you up to in the process of the...
I've cleaned it and I've given it one coat of paint, and then I have to wait 1 hour and then I can give it the second coat. It says you can give it a third coat, but they can get fucked.
So you've made that decision already. You won't make that call after the second. You know that'll be enough.
I'll have to show it to Anne.
Okay. Yeah. Someone else will make that decision for you, whether it requires a third coat. Are you a handyman, Lloyd?
Not in the slightest.
No, okay. Is this the first time you've painted a deck?
We don't really use decks in the United Kingdom. You're only ever on the deck in the UK if there's a fire and you have to assemble somewhere.
And do you have the same fire policy for your house? Is that why you're creating a safe
I hope
space?
This paint isn't flammable. It'll really backfire. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us for your slight reprieve. We're going to do a quiz today. There's 10 questions. It comes from the Saturday paper, which is quite a difficult quiz.
Yeah, I know it well.
I mean, you go on quiz shows on the telly.
Sometimes.
And is the goal there to get the most correct answer? Is that your personal goal on the TV?
When I did Celebrity Mastermind, you know, you get to pick like a specialist subject and then you have general knowledge. And I picked for my specialist subject... someone who died very young, so there was less facts to learn. But I was talking to another comedian was doing Celebrity Mastermind as well, a guy called John Robbins, and I said, I'm pretty confident in my specialist subject of blues musician Robert Johnson, because he didn't really do all that much, but I'm really worried about general knowledge. So that's where I'm going to focus my studies.
Research on general knowledge.
And he was like incredulous. He was like, you can't research general knowledge. You just can't do it.
Well, I agree with him, yeah.
But you can, because it's like, I don't know much about geography, so I was doing a lot of geography research. And then I ended up winning my program, and then he recorded a program directly after mine. And then I met him afterwards for a beer, and I said, "How did it go?" And he went, "Ah, some of my general knowledge let me down."
Well, if your general knowledge lets you down today, we have a brains trust here to assist. And let's meet them now. First of all, it's a big hello to a professor of the history of 70s, sort of 1970s to 1990s bush porn. It's Errol Dunch.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. I'd just like to sort of point out that, of course, bush porn has been around for a very long time, before the 70s, of course. Okay. You could say that, you know, some of our researchers has found some pornography on caves, which counts as bush porn. It's more cave porn, which is a subgenre. But it reached its zenith, I believe, around the 70s, 80s and 90s. Yes.
Do you mean bush as in a sort of excess of pubic hair, or do you mean it as the sort of Australian forest?
The Australian forest, more precisely.
Okay. Although I guess course, it's a bit of...
It's a bit of both when you're dealing with bush porn, because most of it is from around that 70s and 80s period. So yes and no at the same time.
Bit of column A, bit of column bush.
Yes, that's right. I myself began my bush journey, pardon the pun, when I was a boy, reckless.
When you say boy?
Well, I believe I was sort of around the 13 years old.
Okay, so discovery age.
Yes, me and my roustabout friends were frolicking in the bushlands of Duncraig. And let me tell you, we came across a hole, and it was filled with pornography. Well, I would later come to discover it was bush pornography. And we felt like the raiders of Tutankhamun's tomb. Like we had come across an ancient burial site full of treasures. And I guess that sense of excitement, sort of once you get the first hit, you keep on chasing.
Stayed with you.
And I have spent my life to uncover the mysteries of bush pornography.
And so are you with a university? Do you have tenure at a university?
No.
No.
I know that the gentleman, or possibly scoundrels, that first uncovered Tutankhamun's tomb were apparently subject to a curse, and many bad things befell them. I was just wondering, did anything similar happen to any of your friends?
Well, we each took some of the treasure, and maybe you're right, because we didn't see each other for a good 2 or 3 weeks after that.
Okay. So, Professor Errol Dunch, thank you very much for being here. But the Brains Trust doesn't end there, Lloyd. We also have a celebrant, a bird celebrant, actually, on the bush theme. It's Araminta After Eight.
Oh, thank you so much.
Bird celebrant.
Yes, you've heard about bird conservation. This is about bird conservatives. So birds who are too conservative to reproduce unless they are married, and I perform the marriage ceremonies for them. And I'm very good at it quite quick, and that's why I call myself an efficient avian officiant.
Is it confusing if some of the guests throw confetti? Does that get eaten, or...?
It does, but I try and eat before I do the ceremony, so I'm not tempted to lunge at the confetti so much. And, of course, a big part of my role as a celebrant is learning the different bird languages. And then I do the ceremony in the language of the birds getting married, because some of them just don't want to use their cloacas before they are joined under the sight of people and God and other birds.
May I ask a quick question? Do you find a difference in this sort of conservatism when it comes to sort of cloacaed birds compared to birds with penises and vaginas?
There are no birds with penises and vaginas. It's a single-use vent. Oh, no, sorry, a multi-use vent. They all have cloacas. Some of them have more than one, which leads to popularity.
So if they all have cloacas, who's how does something go
it's
in?
It's a lot of scissoring.
Well, yeah, some, I mean, pigeons really enjoy scissoring, but some other birds, I mean, what happens is it's like, you know, when an aircraft drops its landing gear, that's sort of what happens. The wheels come out, they go into the other aeroplane, do what they have to do, and then they fold back up into the undercarriage.
You seem to have a sort of encyclopedic knowledge of bush porn as well.
Well, I mean, I've found lots of pictures of birds in the bush with little peck marks.
But what about ducks?
Pardon?
Because you always hear about ducks having a corkscrew penis.
Oh, yes.
What gives them a right to have a penis?
Well, I mean, I believe it started off, the corkscrew penis started off because ducks really enjoy wine.
Right.
And they found it difficult to have traditional openers. Like, where do you put it under your wing? As soon as you take flight, you drop it.
And you always find yourself at a picnic not being able to open the bottle.
But, you know, there's always a duck at a picnic. So all you need to do is squeeze it under your arm like a bagpipe, and then the corkscrew pops out the back, and you quickly undo your wine and then you throw it back in the water.
Question one. Chappelle Corby was arrested in Bali on October 8th of what year?
I think she's innocent, personally. Someone came in, popped the drugs in her boogie board bag.
Did anyone ever find you with bush porn? Has anyone ever discovered... You know,
Yes. I mean, it's imagine being a prospective romantic partner and coming in. Ooh, please come in, have some wine, and then you walk in, and there is a bunch of ratty, large collection of pornography that has all been found in the bush. That is research materials, might I add. And no matter how much I say it's for research...
Has anyone ever walked in on you researching the bush porn?
Well, I research on the reg. So, you know...
Daily research, is it?
Daily research. I am a real boffin. I hit the books and I hit them hard.
Wake up in the morning, quick bit of research.
Yeah, it's quite delicate because a lot of these... magazines, they've spent a long time just in the bush. Who put them there?
So the options are, for Chappelle Corby's year of arrest, 2000, 2002 or 2004.
Could you please read those again in alphabetical order?
2000, 2004 and 2002.
Very good.
Well done.
I remember... the only news that happened in 2000 was the Millennium Bug. I don't know if you had that down here.
Oh, we had the Millennium Bug down here, yeah.
Did you catch it? Did you, Professor?
Yeah, I caught the bug.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't have the quarantine sort of standards or procedures that we do today.
Do you have any idea, Lloyd, of what year she was arrested?
I would err towards 2004.
I'd like to put forward the theory that it was actually 2002. And the reason I say that is if you write 2002 down, it looks like a swan followed by two eggs and another swan.
You're actually right.
Numerology.
Yeah. Oh, so you could, do you want to change your answer, Lloyd, or stick with 2004?
No, I think that's the most convincing argument I'll hear all episodes.
That's compelling, isn't it?
I'll go 2002. Yep.
2002. Question two. What is the acronym for the Indo-Pacific Security Pact struck between Australia, Britain and the United States?
Now, I do know the answer to this, but unfortunately I only know it in banded thrackle, so I'll have to give it in a bird language. But this is how they refer to it.
Could you translate each part of that for us?
They sound very similar sounds, but they're all completely different. And the first part is Indo-Pacific.
That's whoop-a-wow.
Whoop-a-wow. And then the second whoop-a-wow is ennui, because the banded thrackle is a very lethargic bird. And then after that, you've got another whoop-a-wow, and that means security. And then there's the... which means I was distracted by a goat. And then the last bit, a whippoorwill, it spells exclamation mark.
Okay,
so I think that's pretty clear.
Well, I actually, as fate may have it, was walking in sort of the area around Mundaring just last week, and came across a delightful article in a People magazine. It had a very in-depth article sort of talking about the global political structures and who has the biggest baps, of course.
Yes.
I believe it mentioned that it was called AUKUS.
Is that not a scientific word for a man's testicle?
Oh, yes, but usually, you know, they use fun little terms for it. Because it is, you have to keep in mind, written at a fifth grade reading level. Yeah. So it's a very, you know, sort of globes, sacks, munge.
Munge.
Which that one stumped me for a while.
I think Errol is right. It is AUKUS.
Okay, I'll put AUKUS. Question number three. What six-letter word beginning with R can refer to any bird of prey?
Oh, I know this one.
You know this one, Araminta? Have you married any birds of prey before?
I actually, my first marriage ceremony was between two very conservative falcons. Mm. And because I was still learning how to speak falcon, I accidentally married myself.
Oh, congratulations.
In that sort of circumstance, do you have to sort of email the Pope and get him to annul that marriage or?
Mm. Well, fortunately, he was there. So I just said, can we do that again? And he went, yes, as long as there's more party pies, I don't mind annulling it. Mm. And then one of the falcons did shit on his hat. So that was a...
Well, that's good luck.
Yes. Well, it's good luck for the bird. I've got the answer.
Oh, yeah.
Because the reason I know is because the wedding invitations I sent out for the falcons were titled Raptors in Rapture.
That's a great title because it uses the word of raptor in the word that you use afterwards.
Oh, I'd never picked that up.
See, I pick up on things, see?
That was lucky. What a lucky coincidence.
That is a lucky coincidence.
Have you been following the Collins Street Peregrine Falcons, Lloyd?
Yes, but at a safe distance. I haven't been hassling them.
No, just via the live stream.
What? No, please tell me.
Oh, you don't know them? No. Oh, there's a live stream of these two Peregrine Falcons that live on one of the buildings on Collins Street. And they've just had some baby birds. They've just hatched some baby birds.
I actually married them. They're called Tamsin and Simon.
Why do they work in finance or something, do they? What are they doing on Collins Street?
Well, it's quite lucky because they are outside a bank, and so I know that some of the junior bankers have been just putting documents up to the window, and Simon and Tamsin will scroll back and give them the answer. You're like, oh, you've left out the tax-free exemptions in the Panama Islands kind of thing.
Mm. Mm.
Mm. But it sounds a lot more like,
do you want to put raptor?
Raptor.
All right, I'll lock in raptor. Question four. The Cormoran Strike detective novels are written by which multi-million dollar author? The Cormoran Strike detective novels are written by which multi-million dollar author? That's a lot of money for an author. Did the authors of Bush Porn sort of reach that sort of level of wealth, Professor?
To be honest, it's a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-prong mystery, and maybe even a three-prong mystery. And there might be a third or fourth prong just hiding around the corner. You don't know how many prongs that you're dealing with.
Wow, a sort of gangbang of prongs.
It's a prong bang.
I imagine if you were involved in the creation of pornography, you might want to hide your identity behind a pseudonym.
A penis name, if you will.
Possibly like a humorous play on words like Seymour Butts or...
Because it sounds like, again, if I could just say something about that.
Yeah.
Seymour is a name.
Yes.
But it sounds like see more, as in see more of.
Oh, it does.
And of course, then you put butts It's inferring that the person loves to see more of butts.
That you are amazing, Professor. Thank you. If I can just say that.
Thank you.
And also, just circling back for a moment, a prong bang is actually a land-based bird that's found only in the Outer Hebrides.
The question, though, is the Cormoran Strike detective novels are written by which multi-million dollar author?
I know this.
Oh, you know this one, Lloyd. Yeah. Do you read detective novels, too?
The Cormoran Strike novels were written under a pseudonym.
There
was a mystery of who the author was, and someone that worked at the publishers told someone at a dinner party, and it became common knowledge, and I think the person ended up getting some kind of lawsuit against them for
letting that slip.
Yeah, it is naughty.
Well, should we even say it here, or are we going to get sued?
Well, what I think is very interesting, because I heard this story too, is the Cormorant Strike was actually written by a cormorant. It's a seabird.
It's a seabird.
Kept dipping its beak in the ink and just clattering away for months.
By seabird, do you mean like lives by the sea or begins with sea? Like, is a duck a D bird?
Oh, Professor, I've got one for you. I don't know whether you've noticed, Professor Errol, but Chiron just made a joke about a cormorant, which is a bird. And I called it a seabird because it lives near the sea and also it can see the sea. And Kywin pointed out that it could be a seabird because cormorant starts with C, which is a letter.
Yes, yes, very good. Yes, yes, that's very well done. I mean, I just absolutely adore comedy. And,
Who's the author, Lloyd?
It is everybody's favourite dunderheaded transphob, J.K. Rowling.
Yes.
And she wrote the novels under the name Robert Galbraith.
Question number 5. Which British royal shares their name with a type of sponge cake? Which British royal shares their name with a type of sponge cake? Lloyd, where do the Welsh sit on the royal family? Popular? Unpopular?
I mean, I can speak for myself in that they are not popular with me. Prince Charles is the Prince of Wales, and he that noise will happen every time I say a fact. he went to university in Wales, and I think he learned a bit of Welsh, and actually my father was a member of the Aberystwyth University Lifeguard Club, and their treasured possession was Prince Charles's signature, because he was a member as well, and you had to sign some book. And
that apparently is untrue.
My dad took the book out on a drunken night out and lost it and got into a lot of trouble.
Well, maybe I'll find it. Maybe I'll find it in there, you know. Who knows? You could be thumbing through a collection of men's health magazines, or maybe even a Ralph if I get lucky, and it might show up.
I actually know the answer to this question. So it's a sponge cake that shares its name with a member of the royal family, and Madeira Windsor was not very well known as a child, but then she changed her name to Victoria so that she could become Victoria Sponge.
They're all named after a sponge because they're all sponges, eh? Yeah. Hey, got you.
Good one, Professor.
I'm back. Errol's back.
Look in Victoria. Question number 6. Name South Australia's longest river.
Has it not been named already? That seems like an oversight.
So you've seen some Ralph out in the wild at Men's Health. How far back, you know, as you said, it's very popular between the 70s and 90s, but it goes back further. What is some of the older examples of bush porn?
Oh, well, you know, there's been reportings of people getting, you know, finding little cards with, you know, rouged knees. That's worth its weight in gold. Wow. And it doesn't weigh very much, so it's not that it's not that not that valuable. In fact, some people might call it rubbish, but I call it not rubbish.
Is the answer to the question that we once had, is it the River Torrens?
The River Torrens that flows...
Is it Torrens?
Does that flow through Adelaide? Is that the... I think it's the Murray River.
Oh, the Murray.
Indeed.
Mm, the mighty Murray.
Mm.
Let's lock in Murray.
Grace is the only studio album of which American singer-songwriter and son of a musician who died age 28 in 1975.
Well, weirdly, I know the answer to this one, and it also involves a river.
It does.
Jeff Buckley, beautiful album, tried to go swimming in his trousers and it didn't end well.
Big mistake.
Was a great album. A lot of birds use it at their weddings.
Araminta's right, yeah. Son of Tim Buckley.
I'll lock that in. Question number 8. Name the winners of this year's Brownlow Medal and Dally M Medal. Well, imagine some of the people that grace that red carpet show up in some of the magazines that you find along the many waterways of Perth.
Well, yes, obviously it's not up to date. If you wanted to know, you know, who was the Brownlow medalist in, you know, 1982. Perhaps I could do some research and have the resources on hand to tell you. And if you wanted to know who you know was the hottest or you know had the roundest cheeks, and then I can give you a top five list. But yep. You know, it's that sort of thing.
I have no idea of any of the identities of these people.
Of this, I know Ollie Wines won the Brownlow Medal.
I feel like you're giving us a lot of help, Kyron.
I do all the time on this show. I'm a terrible quizmaster.
Was the other one? So you've said that name, which has instantly fallen out of my head. What's the
Ollie
other
Wines.
One?
Ollie Wines.
Ollie Wines. Yeah. But was the other player that won the Dally M, was it a cassowary?
Could have been.
They are quite brutal.
Yeah, they are.
I was at the Adelaide Zoo once looking at the cassowary, and this is a true story. I was looking at the cassowary and a woman walked past me and went, "She killed her husband," and then kept walking. And I was there as a consultant. I was going to remarry the cassowary. But when I discovered that she had murdered her husband with her prehistoric head, I just said, "No, I'm going to look at the pandas."
Their sharp claws.
I don't remember, because I remember a sort of a national plebiscite here in Australia about the fact that the law said that a marriage had to be between a man and a woman to the exclusion of all others.
Yes.
And that got changed, and now two people can marry. Was there a similar plebiscite on birds? I don't remember that.
Well, at the same time, but it turns out that birds don't read, so they just got on with their lives and kept getting married.
Are people not worried that it's a slippery slope, that birds will then marry their dogs?
Do you want to put Ollie Wines into cassowary?
Yes.
Okay, lock it in. Question 9, true or false? Oh, thank God. Namibia... is a landlocked country. True or false? Namibia is a landlocked country. Have you ever been overseas to search for bush porn, Professor, or is it mostly the suburbs of Perth?
It's mostly the suburbs of Perth, you know. Yeah. Why go anywhere else, okay, when I've got all I need in the northern suburbs of Perth? Thank you so much.
You could maybe do like a exchange trip with the bushmen of the Kalahari.
Well, you know, we do have a Facebook group and, you know, we exchange ideas, you know, such things like vaccines aren't real, COVID aren't real. But also, you know, different types of pornography that we found in the bush, and it's a okay. great place where so like-minded people.
You don't belong to a university, but you do belong to a Facebook group. So that's a
yeah. So it's the same thing. Well, I do the research.
You have yeah. done the research.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the day that you know someone can't just go on a Facebook group and scroll through and then go, I know the same as sort of a doctor or a professor, is the day that I say no thank you to that person that's saying that to me.
And so how do you, because I mean, I guess you're a teacher, it's an honourable profession, isn't it, as a professor to share your knowledge.
Thank you.
How do you get that that title as professor if not via university? I'd sort of
yeah. It, well, I'm glad you asked you. Because there's MS Paint,
Namibia, landlocked country. that's what we were talking about. It's a toss of a coin. This one, true or false, Lloyd?
I think it's on. It's the west coast of Africa, so I would say no.
Question 10, final question. In what century was the first smallpox vaccine developed?
Let's not ask the professor.
In what century was the first smallpox? In what century was the first small dicks vaccine developed?
There's a vaccine for that?
Suddenly he's pro-vaccine.
I've got to do some research.
It's 18th or 19th.
18th or 19th. So you reckon 1700s or 1800s. It was it French?
Was it? Wouldn't it then be La Vaccination rather than...
I remember it being depicted in a Netflix series of show, the name of which escapes me.
Emily in Paris.
That might have been it.
Times.
Okay, let's say 18th. It'll be on in my head.
That's French.
You can guillotine me if this is wrong.
How do you feel you did? Are you feeling optimistic?
Yeah, I reckon we got 70% there.
I think we've done remarkably well. And as yeah. I said to two macaws that I married recently,
Question one was, Chappelle Corby was arrested in Bali on October 8 of what year? You said 2002, but it's 2004.
Oh. Toughie.
Those swans.
Free Chappelle.
Yeah. The swans tricked you. Question two is, what is the acronym name for the Indo-Pacific Security Pact struck last month between Australia, Britain and the United States? You said AUKUS, and it's AUKUS.
Thank you. I believe it's Picture Magazine. Thank you, Picture Magazine, for that. Really appreciate that one.
Question number three was, what six-letter word beginning with R could refer to any bird of prey? You said raptor, and you were correct.
I'd have to resign if I got that one wrong.
Question four, the Cormoran Strike detective novels are written by which multi-million dollar author? You were right in saying J.K. Rowling. Question five, which British royal shares their name with a type of sponge cake? You said Victoria, and that's correct. Really flying here. Question six, name South Australia's longest river. You said the Murray, and it's the Murray.
Well done.
Holy shit. Question seven, Grace is the only studio album of which American singer, songwriter and son of a musician who died age 28 in 1975? It was indeed Jeff Buckley. Question number eight, name the winners of this year's Brownlow Medal and Dally M Medal.
I've got high hopes for this one.
You said Ollie Wines and a Cassowary, but it's Ollie Wines for the Brownlow and Tom Trebojevic for the Dally M.
Trebovich.
I can understand, you know, why you might get a Cassowary and Tom confused, though. So I don't think that's on us. I think that's on the question. It's not clear.
Question number nine. So I'll give you half a point there. Question nine, true or false, Namibia is a landlocked country. You were right. It's false. And question 10, in what century was the smallpox vaccine developed? It was indeed in the 1700s, the 18th century, giving you well 8.5 out of 10.
Woohoo!
Wow.
Is this a record?
Unfortunately, the record is 10 out of 10.
Oh.
But 85% is very high indeed. There's only a few people sitting on 9.
Which absolute nerds got 10 out of 10?
It was Tim Hewitt.
Oh my!
It's always the ones you least expect.
Yeah. Oh, you know Tim? do you, Professor?
No, I'm just being a wry fellow, you know?
I thought he might have been in the same Facebook groups.
And I was just...
But not to be.
Yeah, missed opportunity there.
Professor, thank you very much for being here.
Yeah. You're welcome. A big shout out to Zoo Magazine. So thank you so much for all the work you've done, and I can't wait to uncover more of your mysteries.
Professor Errol Dunch, who are the other are you an admin on the Facebook group?
Yes, I am an admin, yes.
You know, do you have to share that responsibility with anyone? It must be a tough job.
You know, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I love sharing information with fellow people that have woken up and are ready to learn the truth.
You know that quote, if you do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life, do you know where that's from? Yes.
No.
The Zodiac Killer.
Huh.
Oh, in reference to the killer.
I'm just fucking about what I don't know where it's from.
That's why this didn't play.
I thought that the Facebook group might have had a few comedians outside, not necessarily Tim Hewitt, but some others mucking about in there.
Oh, we try to, you know, I don't like to know what people do, or we try to keep it pretty, you know, business only.
Mm.
I don't want to get attached to these people.
Right. Well, let's list some comedians from Perth. Is Ben Russell in there at all?
Ben Russell? No, that does ring a bell, yes. Ring a ding ding. Yes, that's right. That's Ben Russell.
So also he's not a comedian. He's a bell ringer. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Definitely not a comedian. Absolutely. Yeah. I believe he's going pro with bell ringing. So.
A campanologist.
Yes.
Do we get another point for that?
Unfortunately not. Thank you for being here, Professor.
Thank you for having me, Kyron. Your mum says hello.
She's from Perth. She's in the group, is she?
Yes.
Great. Well, pass on a big hello from me.
I will.
And Araminta After Eight, thank you very much for your contributions today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Can I just say, Kyron, as an avid listener to this podcast, my favourite part is where you try and prompt people to talk about their alter egos and they never notice. That's my favourite part of the podcast. So in the spirit of that, I'd just like to say you could check out Cal Wilson's kids' books. George and the Great Bum Stampede and George and the Great Brain Swappery. And she's also got a kids podcast coming out soon, which is called The Storyteller. And I'm Araminta After Eight.
Well, thank you for being here, Araminta After Eight. And Lloyd Langford, congratulations. 8.5 out of 10. A remarkable effort,
well
really.
Done.
Thank you.
Considering you're just here on a break from painting the deck.
Yes.
So that's excellent work. And good luck out there. I sincerely hope you don't have to do a third coat.
Me too.
But, you know, it'll save you. It'll save you on time later. You know, a third coat, a stitch in time saves nine. A third coat saves you doing it again later, as they say.
Yeah. I think that's from the Zodiac Killer as
well. Yeah. I would like to publicly and officially say that I am definitely not the Zodiac Killer, okay? I don't know how many times I have to say that, okay? Quite a few. Yeah. I've got to repeatedly tell people that I'm not the Zodiac Killer.
Because I did not hear a ding noise, so that's
FBI.
Yet to be confirmed.
FBI keeps calling me saying...
I think we found him!
They keep saying, are you the Zodiac Killer? I say, no, I'm not!
He's actually in Perth reading Zoo magazine. That's it for Wax Quizzical this week. We'll see you next week. Goodbye!
Esquire.
Goodbye.